making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Beer pong, huh, so?
I mean, how do you think ping pong's gonna go? You ever go, like, we have a ping pong table in the garage down at the Cape from the summer, so the kids at night can play ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out there, the kids want to take you on a ping pong. Hit it to them, they hit it to me.
Right.
Goes on the floor. Walk over here, pick it up. Okay, ready? Here we go. Ready?
Yeah. How many times is there
you
a back
that
and
one
forth?
Up.
How many times is there a back and forth?
It's called a volley. In that sport, it is called a volley.
Yeah.
There's no volley. There's not going to be a volley on the 15th of February when pucks and pongs.
Maybe my odds are decent then.
Yeah.
Maybe I could win a game. Someone bit on me, though. That's a positive.
That's good.
I'm taking that as a win. That's a win.
So, I mean, I think there's, you know, and we did this on the crew. This is why I had that idea, too. We did it on the cruise ship. Like ping pong, you could challenge Patriots, guys. It ended up not going so well, and it turns into beer pong. So bring your red solo cups.
Okay.
I want to bring them.
All right.
Bring red solo cups.
Okay.
So whoever bit on me will have fun.
All right, very good.
It's like when you go to a golf tournament with me, and you have me in your foursome, you will have fun. You'll enjoy your day. That's all I can say.
I just want to get back to Bill Belichick today, if we could.
Yeah, I got more.
If we get back to Bill.
Oh, God, I watched the game again last night.
Call this a back to Bill Thursday.
I watched the game again last night. I did it to myself.
Why'd
I watched
you do
it
that?
Three straight days.
Because
I pick up, because the more and more I watch it, I pick up little things that I may have missed in the prior.
No, I have watched things. You know what I watched last night was Inside the NFL.
Did you see the sound effects last night?
No.
Of the game? Oh.
Well, I mean, there was plenty of mic'd up stuff inside the NFL, but not. No, I didn't specifically watch sound effects. No.
I talked to a member of the Philadelphia Eagles staff yesterday.
Gee, I wonder who.
So they've never been so confident going into the game. We had an answer for everything that they threw at us.
Well, it certainly looked that way.
Sure did.
Somebody on the offensive side, then.
Shut up.
All right.
Can
I ask you something?
Look at you here early again.
Can I ask you something?
I love it. Look at this.
Right from the jump. Right from the jump.
What?
Beto wants to talk about Belichick today. I'd like to talk about Belichick today. I'd like to talk about the very first coaching decision of the game. Once again, win the toss, defer. Why? Double score. Has anyone actually crunched the numbers to see how many times you actually possessed the ball at the end of the half, which they did not? Didn't get the double score because they scored, but then Philadelphia got the ball back and they scored to end the first half.
Got Alonzo Stagg over here.
Well, honestly, in a game where predictably it's not your.
I thought they wanted to play out from front. To your point, I thought they wanted to play from out in front. I had an inkling they were going to take the ball. I'm with you.
I think you should always take the ball. Because
I don't think you should always take it. But in a dome, in a different game, where you want to play from out in front, you talked about all week, they really don't trail. Why would you take the ball?
Take the ball. Go up first. What's better, your offense?
I was depressed when they didn't take the ball, because I thought they were going to come out hot, go turbo, get up 7-0.
You know that more than 80% of decisions on the toss in the NFL now go to defer?
Yeah, because he does it.
I mean, the defer option started 10 years ago,
yeah,
and it has gradually climbed to now it's the popular thing to do.
Why wouldn't you want to try and possess the ball as many times as possible? I mean, it's like a batting lineup, right? Who do you want to have the most at-bats? Your first, second, and third guys. Those are the guys you put at the top of the order so that they have most opportunities to get to the plate in a game. If the name of the game is to score more points, and oh, by the way, your offense is better than your defense, why wouldn't you take the ball to start and give yourself the statistical probability that you will possess the ball more times than your opponent.
Hardy, this is what you're choosing to take out of this game?
Well, that's the first thing. I hate the defer. I hate
that's
it.
Like number 57 on the list.
I mean, of all the things.
Like, it's like number 157.
Hardy, I think deferring, you have a statistical probability of getting the ball more because you have a chance to getting it
more possessions
in a row.
That's what they're doing. They're gambling.
You have a chance to get it two possessions in a row.
It's not even a double score. It's you get them back. Right, Jim. You're giving yourself a chance to have more possessions.
Right, I'm just helping the conversation by going chronologically. You want to talk about Belichick. I want to talk about the first thing.
You've actually
game.
Pissed me That's, off more about more things
okay,
about this game.
Okay,
you're
so
right, because you're right on this.
Now we can move on.
I thought they should have taken the ball.
Nick Foles is the quarterback on the other side. You let your defense go out there.
And how'd that work out for you?
How'd he play?
It worked out. You were down. You were down in halftime, and you got the ball at first in the second half. That's how it worked out for you.
I'm getting more pissed off about this game 4 days after.
So you think their defense would have played better if they took the ball first?
Yeah, I don't.
No.
I don't know if their defense would have played better, but I think maybe
you
would have had a chance to go up and play with a lead in a big game.
Hardy, you know what happens when you finally had the lead in the game? What happened when they finally had the lead in the game? They went 14 plays, 75 yards in 9 minutes.
I don't know it because it only lasted for 14 seconds, and it didn't happen until the damn near the end of the game.
Oh, no. It lasted for 7 minutes. That's how long the Eagles had the ball until they scored. You had the lead for 7 minutes.
I agree with you that they should have taken the ball because I believe that whoever won should have taken the ball in this game. And that proved to be true. Yeah. Look at the offensive numbers in this game. I said whoever wins should take that ball and run with it and get up early. We were asking that question. Can the Eagles play from behind? They proved that they could for a short time. They did come back in this game.
See, eventually, late. four days after you start getting over the loss, I've actually felt progressively worse day to day.
Yes.
Because you go back and
it's
watch
really
it,
starting
like,
to sink
in now. They really threw for freaking 505 yards, and he had three touchdowns.
It's starting to sink in.
He basically got hit three times in the whole game.
My favorite play to see on Twitter last night.
What?
Was when Landon Roberts dropped back into pass coverage
run. You like that one? Good.
A running play. Hey, it was a run-pass option. He thought it was pass. He handed it off, and he's dropping back into pass coverage.
Devin McCourty picked the worst day to have his worst game as a Patriot. And Jordan Richards should never really be on the field. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Shouldn't be on the team.
He doesn't get any better game to game.
Shouldn't be on the
Horrific angles. Horrific angles coming up to jump a flat defender turns his head to
good
look.
Guy.
Nobody said he's not a good guy.
Good guy. Good driver.
Yeah. Have him wave that not done flag. Have him run out the team. Do something else. Double that one.
Everybody's hot today. I like this. I got more thoughts.
Say what?
I haven't even given you really anything.
James Harrison wasn't that bad either in this game.
Everyone's hot because we're on day 19 in a row.
I know. We're grinding now, baby. Grinding. The CBS Sports Minute has Boomer. He has a birthday shout out to a Belichick favorite.
Who cares?
That's who we got. We got more Bill on a back to Bill Thursday.
Come in early again.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello? Go ahead.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The rookie in the staggered stance. The snap is in place. He swings the right leg. The kick is lifted to the uprights, and the kick is good. So the Eagles convert a couple of third and longs. But a false start from the two backs them up. They settle for three midway through the first of Super Bowl 52.
Today's going to be the day. The day that Hardy kills Jim.
Yeah, insurmountable 3-0 lead they gave up.
You're right, Jim. It's a good idea to go down. It's a good idea to play from behind. It's a good idea to allow another team to go out and score on you.
You missed the biggest
game.
Part of that.
Ever.
Bob said, midway through the first drive of the game, took him
seven and a half minutes.
Patriots didn't touch the ball for about 7 minutes.
Yeah. No, but you're right, Jim. It was all results I'll indicate that it was the right thing to do.
A lot of tension
you're right.
here today.
You're right.
A lot
because
of tension.
Even though they lost the game, and even though they didn't get the double possession to end the first half and to start the second half, you're right, Jim, it was still the right thing to do. And even though by giving the ball up, like everything about that decision in that game worked against them, but you go ahead and die on that hill.
What were you saying at the end of that drive? Wow, they really
they got
out of it with a field goal. So
they got lucky.
That's a win for the Patriots.
Yeah, they lucked out on a false start.
Everyone
was
saying the same thing. That's a win for the Patriots.
I did not say that myself.
I did.
I did not feel that it was
good to
give up points on the first drive.
What does that have to do with whether or not you scored first? Like, yeah, it was a win because that's a drive where you expected them to give up seven,
so it was like
not
seven,
three.
Nothing.
But what if they had a 7-0 lead and then gave up the field goal? Then I'd still say it was a win for the Patriots on that drive. I think they're two independent things.
It'd be nice if they had a bad snap or a bad hold and they toinked one off the...
Like your kicker.
I mean, it's just overthinking in a game that you could have predicted was going to be a lot about the offenses and not as much about the defenses. You gave the ball to the other team first. They scored first. They also scored at the end of the first half, and they ended up winning the game by one score. I'll give it 1.5 scores because they would have needed the 2-point conversion. So you gave the ball to the other team to begin the game. They scored first and ended up being a one-score game.
Who's on first?
That you lost. And you loved the decision. I don't know how you defend.
You would have gotten you would have had the chance at the double score if it wasn't for Jordan Richards playing defense.
Or any of the other
Unfortunately, Jordan Richards was playing.
There's only one guy that knew that going into that game. That's Belichick.
We spent too much time on this already. Let's get to the decision not to play Malcolm Butler again. So, and the perception of this decision here in New England. This is turning into Bill Belichick's Grady Little moment. And let me say this. I don't mean that as in he's going to, go away and we're going to hate him forever. No, just then, this is going to be a gaffe that we look at for a long time and talk about for a long time.
Yeah.
This is not going anywhere. This, to me, is...
This hurts worse because your 40-year-old quarterback carried you and played extremely well. Above what I expected.
I think this is going to go down, given the stakes, given the game that it happened in. This is going to go down as Bill Belichick's worst moment as Patriots coach.
Because this is not an offensive faux pas. This is he's the defensive mastermind. His defensive coordinator is now head coach at Detroit because he made chicken salad out of chicken bleep this year. More so than any other. I thought this was Matt Patricia's best year as a defensive coordinator, and they had no answer for anything.
Who's on Bill's side right now? Have you talked to anybody who's like, oh, Belichick was right?
Nobody.
Who's saying that? Nobody's saying that.
And I'm not saying he's wrong because I don't know what happened. And I am operating.
I mean, maybe some of his suck-ups are, and some of those exist.
I am not buying football decision, okay? I've been around this thing too much.
Yeah.
To know that a guy started 17 games this year and was one of your highest guys as far as reps and snaps played, I am operating with the assumption that something big happened.
Because you can't accept that, Bill let something get personal?
And maybe it's not. Maybe it's not a miss thing or a concert or weed or whatever. Stephen A. Smith's stupid race card thing again. What a fraud you are. I'm operating with thinking that there had to be some sort of a physical altercation to where now I got to sit his ass because you don't touch my coach, any coach. So you're going to pay for it.
And you assume
this is not a this ain't
and
a package thing,
this?
Okay? This ain't a pack.
And you assume this because you can't wrap your head around the decision.
Correct.
That it now is a fight between Malcolm Butler and coach.
Right, because I'm not sticking up for the football package thing. I don't buy any of that. None of it.
You think that Malcolm Butler? So Malcolm Butler is lying then?
No, I'm not saying he's lying.
Well, no, you are.
No, I just said
he may not have lying. He says all the things that are reported.
They never said
the ridiculous activities.
No, the Patriots never said
that
he was late or smelled like weed.
Okay, so if he wasn't late, what was the fight about? What was the fight about?
I don't know, but it's got to be about something. Okay, so Malcolm might be right on that.
Convenient.
Malcolm might be right on all that other stuff because the Patriots never said that. That stuff coming from like Rap Sheet. Or Ben Vol, I don't know. But I can't sit there and watch what I was watching unravel the other night. And as I said, for 4 days, you go watch Jordan Richards out there run around. Jordan Richards looked like Brandon Cooks catching a ball on offense, but he's your defensive Brandon
Because
Cooks.
Why? Because you're having a hard time accepting that Bill Belichick made a bad decision because you've seen so many good decisions from Bill Belichick over the years that you can't bring yourself to just believe it.
That's
where you're at. You can't even believe that Bill Belichick made a bad decision.
I can't believe what I watched yet.
And that tells you why his Grady Little moment isn't going to impact him. It's not like he's losing his job or you're going to hate Bill Belichick, but you're going to hold this one against him. Most people are going to hold this against him forever. That he benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, a guy who was an all-pro, a guy who had the biggest you know, interception and Super Bowl history going back a couple
and
of years.
The more
we're talking about
this.
A great player, a guy who played 98% of the snaps in the regular season and had played 100% of the snaps in the two playoff games leading up to the Super Bowl.
But he had,
you can't wrap your head around that.
Because I keep going back to Eric Rowe's comment in the post game. They told me right before kick. I didn't know anything right before kick. You think he's lying? He's not lying. So I'm just trying to put the puzzle together more and more. 4 days after, as I sit there last night and they watch the NBC coverage, I'm hearing Al Michaels say, well, it's coming from the Patriots. It's a football decision. You know, and I'm watching it. And I'm thinking, did something happen? Like,
so this can't be as easy as Bill made a bad call decision.
So what time did we leave on the buses? Well, 4 hours prior to the game. So we got to the stadium. We're walking around. So was there really this package thing? And there may have been a package thing because I go back to game two against New Orleans. So yeah, kind of refreshes.
It is the packages now?
No, listen. Just hold on.
Remember
game two. He didn't start in game two. Okay? Against the Saints. He did play in that game.
Oh, gee, that's funny. Why? Against the Saints? What did the Saints have to do with Malcolm Butler? Oh, wait. They were the team that Malcolm had gone to visit because they were interested in paying him. And then it didn't work out, but Malcolm Butler would know that this offseason...
It's all quiet. It's all personal. It's all personal. Saints, yeah, it's a personal thing. No,
well, you bring up that he was against the Saints. That would indicate, there might be some personal things.
No, it indicated he played ass against the Chiefs in week one.
Say it was against Team Planet Zippy Town or whatever. And it was Eric Rowe or somebody else that started the game. Malcolm ended up playing that game. You know, they mixed him in.
No, that's not true.
No, he did. He played.
Why did he get into the game?
You're thinking Bills.
Injury.
Yeah, but you're thinking Bills. You're thinking when Rowe pulled his groin.
No, yeah. Rowe got hurt in the Saints game.
The Saints game, and that's why Butler came in.
Well, why'd Bartomosi go in? See, you mean to tell me Malcolm's not even ahead of Jonathan or John, what's his name? Bartomosi?
He cracked the roster in the Saints game. Yeah. He cracked it in the game with an injury.
So I'm thinking.
If it weren't for the injury, I don't know that he would have played against the Saints.
So if Malcolm's right and nothing happened during the week and he was legitimately sick and he missed practice and he looked like crap and he was told maybe at the stadium, you're not starting today. Did he take a swing at somebody or hit somebody when he didn't like what was being told him on game day?
I'm not going to assume that.
That chronology doesn't make any sense to me.
Why? He told me he wasn't starting. He'd be starting to throw down.
Or he didn't like it. Or Malcolm Yates.
I find it more believable that he lost his mind in practice or something during the week. You know, we've been told he had a bad week of practice, and he hadn't been playing well. And that's why he only played one special team snap for the entire game. It's more believable to me that something personal went down, and he did have a bad week of practice after being sick and all that.
You know, say he freaked out
the
locker
makes
room.
More sense to me than being told, you're not going to start. He took a swing at somebody, and therefore he didn't play for the entire game.
You know what I'm saying? Like 2 hours before the game, he was told.
Say it's like an hour and 15 minutes before the game, like after inactives are announced.
Yeah.
That would explain why he dressed.
See, that's like the only feasible thing that makes sense.
If one of the other quarters went down, they're going to need
it. That's the only pattern that makes sense. Because you think Bill had this diabolical plan all week? Okay, Eric Rowe, I'm telling you right before the game. Okay, you're starting Super Bowl 52. Okay? He's going to start Super Bowl 52. 21, you don't put him in. Okay? That's where it's going. I thought this up. We game planned this all week. What, are you kidding me? This would make sense if they scored 13 points. You got lit up. You should have won that game. I feel worse about this one than I do the Giants. Look at the defense you had then. You had all different guys playing safety, corner, whatever. A couple years ago, was that 11 or whatever year that was? This is a bad one.
So you're right. That's the one scenario that would explain everything.
That's the only thing I've been racking my head for 4 days. Nobody's telling me anything.
I don't know how on earth you came up with that scenario, but that's the one scenario that would explain everything.
Right. He freaked out on somebody, and you know what? If you can't take that, you want to swing, you want to touch somebody, you sit your ass down. Then that's a justifiable benching. You take a swing at a coach or you hit somebody? I don't know that. And I'm not saying he did that. That's not fair to Malcolm.
It hasn't stopped you.
then you explain it. Package boy.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, package boy.
How those packages look for you?
Yeah. I'm not the package
guy. How those in-series.
Talk to Matt Patricia.
How those between-series adjustments look?
Tell me, is Matt Patricia going to be doing any more shopping at the Big Y before the permanent move to Detroit?
I hope so.
I hope you run into him in the Big Y. And you guys have a a nice little talk over the, you know, looking at the steaks back at the meat counter.
Good steaks there. Good steaks. That's where Zolak family goes for all their meats.
I hope you guys bump into each other before he permanently moves out there.
And you guys
have a nice little chat in the meat section.
We're going to do this. You know what? I'm going to do this, too, on the other side.
What?
I listened to a whole Matt Patricia press conference yesterday.
And no one asked a single question.
That's the only reason I watched.
I'll tell you, those Detroit guys are soft.
How do you not?
Man, what a soft market that is.
Apparently. How do you not ask the man?
I don't know.
What
I
happened
don't know how that
Sunday?
Not only that, it was one of the
I feel for your people.
And one of the reporters said, hey Matt, nice to see you again. And Matt says, yeah, nice to see you as well. And then they ask a football question. I'm like, this is pathetic. This is pathetic, Detroit. You guys haven't won a playoff game in forever. You've never been
it's
to the
forever.
This isn't like it's Belichick and you're afraid to ask the guys questions.
93, right?
I couldn't believe it. Nobody asked him a single question about Sunday. Not a single question regarding Sunday.
25 years.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
On 91.
The guy you benched won you a Super Bowl 3 years ago.
No,
he was all pro. He was pro bowler. And you didn't play him. And not one question to Matt Patricia.
It's at least 26, Beatle.
Okay. Well, it's been at least a quarter century.
Read your headline. I am so pissed off today.
I don't read anything. I don't write.
Whatever. Read Wallach. Read Wallach's whole thing. So he does
Well, he does a lot of reading.
Yeah.
Hardy's more of a natural. More of a natural. Hardy has headlines. We are back. We will get to some of your calls on this because we've been kind of backed up on calls the last couple of days.
Thanks for hanging. We'll see you there.
We will get to your calls, and we also have Sean Grandy today, Billy Jaffe, maybe a couple Red Sox thoughts if you don't mind, Zoe. Do you mind? I got a few items.
I actually got one big one.
You do?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right, we'll do that coming up at 10:50 as well. We'll mix it in, but we're still mainly Patriots today, okay? Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
The last Lions playoff win was in the 1991 season. So yesterday, Matt Patricia was announced as their new head coach. What did you have to say there, Matt?
To the future of the Detroit Lions, the Lion organization, the players, and the fans. I believe that I am a leader. I believe that I'm a problem solver. I want to represent the toughness of this city. We will be organized. We will be detailed. We will teach and develop our players and our coaches. We will be passionate. We will love and respect the game.
I got to cut you off because every time he finishes a phrase, he's on an up thing. This could go on for 10 minutes. If you gave me a spot where you said, we're going to get and develop the game and go down, then I could cut you off more naturally. Sorry about that, Matt. Meanwhile, the Bruins beat the Rangers 6-1 last night, chased Henrik Lundqvist out of the net in the second period. Anton Khudobin did his job on the other end, made 21 saves.
Yeah, Dobie played phenomenal. Really kept us in it early. And then it just shows our depth again. That's why we're playing so well right now. We have every line stepping up every night. It's very hard to defend against, and it's great to be able to rely on everyone.
That's Brad Marchand, who made his return from a 5-game suspension last night. They'll be home to play Buffalo on Saturday. Celtics playing the first night of back-to-backs tonight when they take on the Wizards in Washington. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Hardy in Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Has been added to the bill with Journey and Def Leppard at Fenway Park, and we're giving away those tickets at 11:50 this morning. 11:50. Okay?
I would go to that show. Cheap Trick's going to open. They got to open, right?
Yeah, I'd go to see Def Leppard.
And I would leave after Cheap Trick. I would go to that show just to see Cheap Trick.
Not me.
I told you, I saw them a couple years ago. They still sound good.
Yeah.
Turn it up, Jim!
It's good, Jim.
Mommy's all right. Daddy's all right. Just seem a little weird. Surrender, surrender, but don't give yourself away. Hey, hey.
617-779-0985. Adam is in Lowell. Adam, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. You know, we all knew Bill had an ego on him, but now I think it actually rivals Parcells to the point where he in his head thinks, the players are secondary. I'm the whole show here. If you want to see the success, it's right here. And the reason behind that is, if all the rumors coming out about Butler, like, oh, first he was sick, then he missed curfew, all this nonsense that came out, if that were the fact he did something so egregious he's not playing one defensive snap, why is he in uniform on the sideline? I'll tell you why, because Belichick's that big of a stiff that he's like, now you can stand there because he pissed me off. You've joined the list of players that pissed me off, so now I screwed him at the end. He is an egomaniac. Honestly, I would have been fine with walking away from this year. I hope Kraft looked at him and said, hey, so what's the deal, guy? You just lost us a Super Bowl, you egomaniac. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Adam. Appreciate the call. Ego getting in the way. Why is he dressed? Why is he on the sideline? Well, Zoe's theory is that something could have happened after he was told that he was not going to start the game.
After inactives were announced.
If that was true, right? If he blew up and there was a, let's assume the worst, physical altercation.
Yeah. I'm trying to make sense of this from a timeline perspective.
Do all of his teammates support him on Instagram the way they did? Does Tom Brady support him publicly?
Because he is talking, but Malcolm said, I did not show up late. There was no curfew I missed. I did not miss, you missed this,
okay,
that,
but Tom
or
Brady would be aware of Malcolm Butler having...
But Malcolm didn't address
down
a blowout
with a coach, or right, had a blowout with right, a coach.
And Tom wouldn't endorse that.
Okay, so then why would Tom support him publicly? Because Tom is taking Team Malcolm here. He's on Team Malcolm. As is,
again, go to the Browner stuff. He's talking about run-ins with coaches. I mean, there's stuff there. There's little hints.
But now you're saying that all those other players that, you know, liked his
Tom had a blow up with Josh
and his
year
comment
and touch
are saying that he should have played. Or that they support him. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot of players. A lot of big-time important names on there. Rob Gronkowski.
Captains.
Dante Hightower.
Captains.
They were all over it. Became a thing that they stood behind Malcolm Butler publicly this week.
So it's captains meeting on Friday every week. These captains did not know Friday that he wasn't playing. Something happened on game day. It's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Or Bill made the decision and kept it to himself. And the reason why he told Eric Rowe right before kickoff is because he didn't want Eric Rowe overthinking the fact that he was going to start the Super Bowl and he was going to lose his bleep.
So you take Eric Rowe, and in turn you put him on Alshon Jeffrey, who catches the first touchdown. Why isn't Gilmore on him? Yeah, Rowe in space, cover one. That's cover one, no safety help. It's Rowe out there all alone on Jeffrey for that long touchdown.
So that would mean more.
Great throw, great catch.
More
don't
bad
get me wrong. He
coaching
made a great
decisions.
Play.
Yeah. Bad coaching package decisions. They do happen.
It's a 2-week package. It came up.
Yeah. I don't think that was a package.
Mr. Defense there.
Yeah. I think they were developing that one.
Yeah.
I'm starting to buy into Zoe's theory.
Oh. It's the only one that makes sense, pal.
No. Because you can't accept the fact that Bill Belichick would make a bad call. Would just make a bad call.
Not like that.
He screwed up.
No.
Well,
no,
made a bad thing
up for Patriots fans in a nice tidy bow, and I like Zoe's idea.
He's
not.
He's
it would
not
make me feel much better as a Patriots fan.
Right, he would. Where you can trash the player on the way out of town and support your guy Bill, and we all go along happily ever after.
Played
of course,
on the one punt.
Of course that's easy.
They punted once. He played on one punt. And that was it. He didn't get one. This guy, when they hung 42, didn't get one defensive snap on game day.
The only thing that doesn't fit. The only thing that doesn't fit into the theory, though, is who was it that said we had a divided locker room before the game?
I don't think anyone went on record and said that.
Was that Browner?
Yeah, in the Instagram post.
Yeah, no one on this team said that.
Post game.
Oh, that's right.
Post game.
After no one on this team.
It's easy to put that in print post game after you lose. Would he have printed that if they won? What if Brady pulled that out? 2:21 left. Browner still put all that out? Yeah.
You're right. Browner did mention the coaches thing, or pushing a coach, or getting into it with a
There's
coach.
There's little things there. Like, all right, I'm going to say it, but I did
but
it on all
Butler
the
in his Instagram post, I just went back to read it to make sure he didn't reference it, but he mm-hmm. said, I have always respected everyone at the New England Patriots organization, from custodians, staff, and Coach Belichick. That's not a denial, but
why
that's
he,
saying,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Brady let McDaniels up in Buffalo. Didn't touch him. Apologized profusely after it. Even brought it up Saturday after.
Who's been more direct in their explanation of the events of the week? Bill Belichick or Malcolm Butler?
Butler.
Thank you. Can we at least acknowledge that? That the things he has said, although through a statement, not being questioned publicly, or standing in front of... Actually, you know what? he did stand in front of reporters. He talked to Tommy Curran. He talked to Mike Reese. You may have even heard that sound of him saying, they gave up on me. Meaning they gave up on him as a player, that they were done with Malcolm Butler. They were moving on.
But none of this was, there was no inkling of this for 2 weeks. To have him act that emotional during God Bless America or America the Beautiful, whatever song was played. It came to the head right there. Bam. So how many days since the AFC Championship? 20 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean to tell me that nobody had any inkling of this for freaking 16 days? Come on. I'll sell you a piece of real estate up. Okay. This came together on game day.
Where are you going to sell me the real estate?
I don't know. Whatever that saying is. I'll sell you a popsicle stick. Stick your head up a butcher's ass, but give you the white gloves. Whatever.
I'd rather take the ice cream man's word for it.
Yeah, exactly. I have such a headache.
617-779-0985. We got the Red Sox stuff. The Red Sox roundup coming up next. Stay tuned for that.
Solak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Been following the offseason Red Sox news? I know Hardy was talking Red Sox on TV last night.
How'd that go?
It's good. You're breaking down
how good?
Defensive metrics of Jackie Bradley.
Really good. Yeah.
What are you doing there?
It's like a L.
Did they ask you, NBC Sports Boston, to go to spring training? You going to go down there?
No, I was not.
Loading up the crew when they're twins.
Not asked to participate.
Tangway takes America to Florida. They're not doing that.
Here is Ken Rosenthal wrote this in his column earlier this week. The industry-wide assumption remains that free agent outfielder J.D. Martinez will land in Boston, but the Red Sox cannot be sure. Martinez, 30, has yet to accept Boston's reported 5-year, $125 million offer. He is telling people in Miami that he is willing to hold out until he gets his price, as first reported by John Heyman. And he is also telling people that he is fed up with the Red Sox inflexibility and would rather sign with another club, sources say.
Do it. Do it. Who the hell for you? You're not even here. You don't play here. You never did. They've offered you $125 million. You can't decide yet? And you're fed up with them?
This tells me.
I'm like, don't sign this pan load.
This guy would be the perfect fit for the Red Sox.
I did a flip since yesterday.
He would go into that clubhouse and be one of the guys. Him, Pedroia, David Price. Them and all their bitching, they would get along great. This guy would be a perfect fit for the malcontents that occupy the clubhouse. Yeah. At Fenway Park.
He's got a big stick. What are they saying? 45, 50 home runs here, right?
Sign him.
Yeah, okay.
Sign him.
No, I don't want
sign
him. Stop it.
I'm rooting for him to sign him now.
Yeah, because you know why? You root against the Red Sox. We've already established.
Yeah, because I want to see him fall
you
on his face.
You hate the Red
here.
Sox, you root against them.
I don't hate the Red Sox.
No, you do.
I just think you're rooting for someone that you think is going to be bad.
I hate
the baseball structure and the guaranteed money and how you have to deal with people.
Oh, now you hate the whole sport.
No, I hate the way it's set up and the way it's structured. Credit to them, they got the best union out of any of the four major sports. The baseball union takes care of their players. It really does.
Scott Boras has now come out to deny that statement, saying that J.D. Martinez has never made any statement regarding the Red Sox. J.D., this is my favorite part. This reminds me of the Veritech negotiations back in the day. J.D. is involved in multiple negotiations. Multiple. We got all these teams involved. Everybody's banging down the door to get J.D. Martinez. Multiple negotiations and is pleased with the participants and the good faith process. Suggestions otherwise are not accurate.
Could you name one of the other teams? Maybe the Braves? Does that count?
He did this with Veritech.
He got Veritech
11 million.
Yes. I had a missed call from a Georgia area code. What do you tell me what that means?
Yep.
What do you think it is? Trying to sell me a timeshare?
You want to?
I don't know.
You want to ask me if it's the word of Scott Boras or Ken Rosenthal that I believe? Give me Ken Rosenthal 10 out of 10 times. Rosenthal puts out this report that J.D. Martinez is fed up. Good. J.D. Martinez, please, please go somewhere else. Please do not come here.
Come here.
Does he have a Twitter? He's on Twitter, right?
Gotta be.
Let's tweet him. Yeah. Want me to tweet him right now?
Yeah, you tweet him. Don't come. I'll tweet him. Come here, please.
All right, let's do it right now. I'm going to tweet him. It's at,
please come
at
here. Go
J.D.
Sox.
Martinez 14. I'll send him a tweet. Please do not choose to sign in Boston.
Oh,
thanks.
That's
sent. There we go. All good. So I just want to tell him directly, please, please, please don't come here. Please.
Very negative.
The Red Sox should want nothing to do with this guy. Nothing. And they should not offer him. They shouldn't offer him anything, but they certainly shouldn't offer him a dollar more than what they've already put on the table at $5 and $1.25. I am crossing my fingers that this guy ends up elsewhere and that Boras doesn't somehow fleece Dave Dombrowski and bring this guy here. Oh, please, please, please go elsewhere. That's good. Yeah, of course. Of course he's fed up with the Red Sox. They offer the guy $125 million. There seem to be no other suitors, and he's mad at the Red Sox? Oh, him and David Price would be best friends. They would be best friends. David Price would have to dump Astro to walk around J.D. Martinez on a leash. That's what that would be. Two peas in a pod. I don't want this guy here. No, thank you. Get lost. Goodbye. Nope, 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 nope. Don't want anything to do with this guy in Boston. This has disaster written all over it. And now you know that if he comes here, you know this now. He didn't want to be here, and he did exactly what David Price did, which was take the money instead of going to play for a team that he actually wanted to play for. That's what this will be all over again. We have seen how that works out. That doesn't end well. Doesn't end well. Meanwhile, David Price is talking about Dennis Eckersley again.
I thought he didn't think about him anymore.
He's talking about him.
Really? Why?
He said Dennis Eckersley nixed a meeting that was set up to discuss their confrontation on the team charter to Toronto on June 29th, and he has not thought about the controversy this offseason. But Price is trying to somehow put this back on Eck. Asked if he would meet with Eckersley.
Of course, it's baseball season.
I tried that last year. We had that set up, and that guy, he nixed it. I tried. I stood in the locker room in front of you guys and said I could have handled things differently, and I wish I would have. That was that in my mind. I haven't thought about that this offseason. I haven't really put any thought into it up until right now. So he is now...
So locker room thing's a big thing. You got to show your face.
Revisionist history, David Price, is saying that he was very contrite and very sorry, and it said last year that he really would have liked to have done things differently. I think he is misremembering how this all went down.
I mean, we could look it up.
We could go digging. We could dig. Yeah. We have it, you know.
I kind of recall him saying
in the archives.
I fully stand by what I did and what I believe. And so do my teammates. I kind of thought that. And I think the manager kind of supported him doing that.
David Price doubled down on his stupidity last year.
He sure did. He just doesn't want to face it this year now. So he's trying to get out ahead of it.
I mean, what is he talking about?
He needs to stop talking in general. My last memory of David Price was being balls in the playoffs. Now
well,
it's talking about Eckersley.
Jim's right. Pitching well and not saying a damn thing. Just go play. Analyze everything. I'm trying to set up. Where's Murray when you need him?
By the way, Martinez may be talking to the Diamondbacks.
Good.
Apparently.
Good.
Short it's and nice long-term proposals with the D-backs.
Excellent.
Ooh, I like
Love
that.
Love it. Take the long-term options. One, kid. Stay there forever. Don't ever get out.
He'd like Scottsdale.
I mean, it is nice.
It is real nice. Nice Camelback
Mountain.
He did well
there second half of this year.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So that's your Red Sox roundup. That's what's going on.
They have a good skipper?
I think they do. I think they got one out. He's worked out so far. I think he's worked out in Arizona to this point. But meanwhile, David Price is high on Alex Cora. That's a bad sign for Alex Cora.
Players coach.
Sorry, that's a bad sign right out of the gate when David Price is telling you that Alex Cora is great and you can talk to him like he's one of the guys.
That was a Red Sox roundup right there.
Here's the quote. Feels like he's one of the guys. He's easy to talk to. Oh, that's bad. That's bad news. David Price likes the manager. Doom. Absolutely doomed now. Yes, that's your Red Sox roundup, okay?
Good.
J.D. Martinez sucks. Don't come here. Price, same guy.
Yeah, you know, I know it's going to be bad this spring. It's like Shaughnessy sitting here yesterday, and during the breaks, like, I'm due down there. What's going on? Yeah. There's rumors like there's this going to be a free agent training camp. We're all going to get together and do their own thing. Is that what you're talking about, Jim? Like, that would be more
talking about doing their own
out together.
Spring training.
Yeah, we're going to do our own spring training, get a ballpark down there, and let's go at
this
it.
This whole collusion thing keeps coming up.
I'm just going to say, I'd get in a car and go watch
that. We just went through that team.
Yeah.
They would beat the Red Sox.
Look at all the people responding back. Co-signed. Beat it, says Kevin on the tweet to J.D. Martinez. Of me saying, please do not sign in Boston. Thanks. Appreciate it. Keep yourself out there in Arizona. 90 seconds, no commercials. We'll get back to your calls on the Patriots. Don't forget, coming up at 11:50, we've got Def Leppard tickets for Fenway.